Certainly glad you're tuned in to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 10th, 2012. Wow, we're halfway through the year and then some. It's already the second Tuesday in July. This year's getting going, huh?
And not too long, huh?
Yeah, so anyways, and yesterday was exciting to have Herb, the radio servant, in the studio and share about his prison ministry. And I know we got a couple people that called in and wanted to be pen pals to those that are incarcerated and to be an encouragement to them and share the good news message of Jesus, that they don't have to be prisoned forever in their heart and mind, that they can be unshackled, if you will, and know that the Lord loves them and can work through a pen pal. And so thank you for praying that up. And if some of you missed yesterday's program, I invite you to go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and listen to the archive programs page. You'll see Herb in his tuxedo on our main page. You'll be blessed by how dapper he looks with those sunglasses on in a tuxedo. But that was Herb, the radio servant, yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And today I'm so blessed. We're having a little men's fellowship here. Pastor Jason Schiffo with me early. As you know, he's a co-host on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends and taking a more active role with this radio ministry with some radio spots. You're probably hearing his voice every so often announcing our legal IDs at the top of the hour and just being available to help with various interviews. And we have some special interviews coming up in the coming weeks with the Creation Science Museum and some other specialists that can talk about the design of this creation and how instrumental God was from the very beginning, from before time, to be involved in not only creating this universe, but creating us and fashioning us very uniquely in His image. Well, some of you that were tuned in a couple weeks ago on Friday, June 22nd, you heard a taped conversation we had with Dean Ekberg, and he was heading out to Africa to not only bring literal water to needy people, but the living water. Water, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a few days before he left, we had a conversation with Dean over the phone about his pending trip. And by the time it aired on June 22nd, he was literally in Africa, but he got to share some of his story, his life testimony. And I don't know if at the time, Dean, I got to share, but I attended one of the Sunday school classes at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, where you're taking a group through the chronological Bible, and you have a love and a passion for God's Word. And you were sharing insights from literally reading it many times and nuggets of truth. And it was a delightful conversation. And I don't know if I got to mention that, but I know one of the things that fortifies you in your faith journey is daily being in God's Word. So thanks for being back. I know you're freshly back from Africa. You're in the midst of jet lag. And we're appreciative that we can kind of get a follow-up story on what God did in and through you. So we're going to talk about that. And I want to point out one other thing before we jump right into hearing some more of your updates. Those of you that read the Rantoul Press June 27th edition, Karen set this out for me and said, Mark, there's an interesting article. You might want to interview this guy. And it was entitled right on the front page, Former Rantoul Man Cares for Kenya. And I started reading the story, and it's about Carl Birkebile and Erastus Kavudi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading the story thinking, gosh, that sounds so familiar. I know this story. And I looked at an archive programs page in October 14th and 15th of 2008. I interviewed those two and heard about bringing water and hope to Kenya. Well, now I'm finding out, Dean, that you're familiar with both of these individuals, and that's who you worked with on your latest recent trip to Africa. So welcome to the studios, and thank you, Pastor Jason Schiffo, for carving out time to introduce Dean to our radio listening family members again. I know, Dean, you and your wife, Rhonda, lovely Rhonda, who helps lead worship along with your son at the Community Evangelical Free Church.
It's like the Beatles, lovely Rhonda.
Yeah, yes. So anyways, you attend the Community Evangelical Free Church. So Jason, introduce Dean Ekberg.
Yeah, I just love Dean. I love his heart. You said that, you know, you were blessed by the fact that you got to sit in that chronological Bible reading. I don't know if you call it a class, but more just a gathering. And it's funny because I started that when we started reading the chronological Bible, not for an ear towards the person teaching it. There's no teaching. It's discussion. So the person who's kind of
facilitating?
Yeah, facilitating. Not in charge, but just facilitating, just helping to guide some discussion. Dean goes, well, I really like a class like that. I really like to attend something like that. So he came in and he sat down, and I sat in there for a couple times watching him, and I go, Lord, I need to get out of the way here. I need to get, because when I'm in the room, people tend to gravitate towards what I might say. And I go, I need to get out of the way because Dean is facilitating this class. And I just wonder, it made me think biblically, you know, I wonder how many times Paul goes, Timothy's got it. I'm just going to get out of the way now. I'm going to send Timothy on his own and let him go do what he's going to do. I just need to get out of the way. And I wonder, and I felt that with Dean, because it's just such a great way of facilitating that class.
But which makes me quickly think of how oftentimes, say we go out to brunch with our pastor and some other couples from the church or friends or whatever, mm-hmm. and everyone always looks at the pastor, well, pastor, will you pray for the meal? It's like, hey, you know, we all can pray. Don't put the pressure on the pastor to be the answer man, the prayer man, and all that. Yeah. And so you've kind of done that with Dean. You've seen his mm-hmm. gifts, his passions for the Lord, and thought, hey, Dean's facilitating. He's doing just great. And then that freed you up to do some other things, counseling, meeting other people on Sundays also.
Yeah, and I want to share that what's interesting is Dean recently, Dean and Rhonda both, and we always want to include them both in the conversation, because though Dean might go over the pond to serve, Rhonda's here and she's holding together so many various parts of this ministry. If you get an email that's an update, Rhonda probably has funneled through it and written it and yeah. sent it out. I mean, she handles a lot of this ministry too. So they do it as a couple. It's like Batman and Robin weren't that cool if it was just Batman. I mean, somebody has to sit in the passenger seat and run the computer and do all that. So she does a great job of that.
Got to have the girl wonder.
Robin. That's right. That's right. Batgirl. We won't call her Robin. But I was reading Acts. I told Dean yesterday, I shared with him, I said, I've been reading Acts two times the last week. We went away and we got some time away during the 4th of July, so I was reading Acts. And in Acts, there's no missionary organization. And this is not to say that missionary organizations are bad. So don't, please know my heart when I say this. But there's no missionary organization. It's the church that sends Paul out. It's the church that sends Barnabas out. It's the church that sends Timothy out. Church that sends Silas out. It's the church that sends them out. And it's the church that they report back to. And recently, Dean and Rhonda left their missionary organization simply for the fact that it just wasn't, their mission was changing, and it just wasn't lining up. The two thought processes weren't lining up. The two missions weren't lining up. So they've come under the umbrella of Community Free Church. We are their sending organization as the church. And as I just was reading Acts, and not to think that we're doing something better than anybody else, but I was going, my gosh, this sounds so biblical. That the church would be the one who raises the money. The church would be the one who sends them out. It would be the church would be the one that they would come back and stand on the platform and share what happened in this strange land as they brought the gospel and as they did the mission that God has put on their heart. And so I just love, as I'm watching Dean and Rhonda and their story and how it connects to the church, I'm going, this just feels so biblical. It feels like the Bible.
Well, isn't that kind of what the pastor's calling is to do for all of us? Now, Dean and Rhonda in their special, unique circumstances and with Dean's skill sets and his background, it's helping with water, and Africa needs water, so he's going overseas. But as a pastor, don't you see part of your calling is to equip each and every member to go into the grocery store, to the workshop?
Ephesians 4:11 and 12, to equip the saints. You know, if you read Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and then we're going to let Dean talk, because that's really why he's here, right? If you read Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and what are the core questions we ask? It's the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Do you know that if you look at Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it answers all those questions except for the where and the how? And that's the thing that then the pastor, who Ephesians 4:11 and 12 is talking about, that's part of how he guides. But the what God has called you, the when, all those things are answered, and the pastor's in charge of just the directional or guiding or equipping to get them there. You know, but it's already given what it is that they're going to do and how they're going to do it. They're going to do it through God, and they're going to do, so, and what their calling is. So, Dean, tell us about your trip to Kenya.
Thank you, Jason and Mark. As Mark mentioned, I got back with the team just recently in the last day, and I'm still kind of groggy and jet lag. We had a great time for 2.5 weeks in Kenya. We're working in eastern Kenya in what they call Kitui District. There's a town called Tulia, and it's about 3 hours east of, driving time east of Nairobi. But God had just called me to, there's an opportunity to go over and help with water, repairing some old wells that were broken down and drilling a couple new wells. And God just opened up the doors and was able to get a couple wells fixed up and get one well drilled and line up a second one, which is drilling right now. I just thank God for the opportunity.
Now, Dean, because we know God was in it, our radio listeners were praying, your church was praying, your family was praying, does that mean everything just worked out perfectly and everything went according to plan?
No. In fact, the first week and a half, I was discouraged. So the first two-thirds of the trip, we weren't getting any water stuff done. I was talking to, trying to get stuff lined up with the government officials and the drilling company to get the rig on the rig, on the rig schedule and the water committees at these different wells and well sites, and nothing was working out. And then on top of that, I got stomach flu last weekend, and I was like, Lord, you brought me out here, you called me, you brought me out here, and now I'm sick, laying on my back, feeling horrible, and the water stuff's not working out. And I said, Lord, you got to do this. I can't do it. You've got to do it. And God it's what he was waiting for. And then that next week, last Monday, everything just fell into place and we got it all done.
So talk to a minute. Is it really hard to coordinate through the government? I mean, walk us through that process, because I think some people think you just arrive and you start doing your mission.
Right. It's, kind of like you look at Springfield here in Illinois. You know, the government over there, it's just typical government stuff where you're supposed to coordinate through them, even though they're not providing anything or any funds or anything, but just kind of permission to help their people, which is kind of strange. And it just takes time. You got to meet these guys, shake hands and look them in the eye, and you just have to work with them as well as the communities and the water committees in those villages and the communities, and working through it with the pastors, coordinating it with church planting work, all the water stuff that we do. It's coordinating with the church work as well. And that's part of the living water, as well as the physical water. So I just thank God that last 5 or 6 days it worked out.
Well, talk about those lessons learned, because there's a lot of our listeners that have entertained the idea of being on a short-term mission and thinking that it's just going to all be warm fuzzies, everything just goes according to plan. So share some of those times where you were discouraged. So people are saying, sure. Really? When you're called to do something, you're going to have possibly times of discouragement. So walk us through some of that process and then maybe that breaking point where you really said, okay, God, I've done everything I can, and now I'm sick on top of it. I'm supposed to be serving you. Why would I get sick?
Well, it's just, I guess you start off with anytime you're going to a place as remote as eastern Kenya, you basically have 2 full days of travel between plane flights, layovers, and then travel from the airport, getting all your stuff out and traveling into the bush. And that can be discouraging. I know I've had many trips, at least a dozen trips over to Africa over the years, last 15, 20 years. And that's always kind of a kick in the gut when you got so much travel, and then you're supposed to get there and just kind of, try to hit the ground running, and it can be draining, that initial travel. But it's, overall, absolutely fantastic trip. We got a lot done. But it in my situation, in this trip, we were having trouble getting with the water committees and the government officials on the district and regional level. And it just seemed, like I said, I got a week and a half into it and we hadn't accomplished anything, quote unquote. But God was just waiting for me to get to that low point, and including the stomach flu. And I just said, Lord, I can't believe this. I just know that you have something for me to do here, and just open the way, help me to impress on the people that need to make the decisions and get things happening. And I know people here at church were, at Community Free, were praying for me, and others, with my stomach flu. And Jason and my wife, sent out emails and to pray for me, and just instantly, all of a sudden, my problems were gone, and God opened up, the connections, and we got a lot done.
I think about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I was reading this and praying with this. We were actually praying for you guys Saturday morning, just for the last leg of your trip back, a group of us at the church, and we prayed out of this Ecclesiastes 3:11, where it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity on the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. And I think that that's something that we struggle with. We think about our time, and yet the Bible says he's made everything beautiful in its time. Yes. And so I love that God had to bring you there. He brought you all the way across the pond to Africa and then had you lay on your back to get to the point where he goes, Dean, I'm going to wow you.
Yeah.
And then he did that.
And he really did. We were able to repair the well at Kiamani and get that going for about 5,000 people. And we were able to repair a well at Kangi for about 7,500 people. and then drill a well at Kwambula. I know it's a lot of names thrown out there.
we're impressed.
Yeah.
We've got on the schedule for a second well, which the pastors are going to, kind of the pastors council is going to make sure that everything's done, you know, according to what I spec'd out, you know, for the drilling. So
answer me this question. You say, hey, we drilled a well in this place and we repaired a well over at this place. So drilled a well or repaired a well in such a way that when it was done, water was coming out of it? I mean, like right away?
Well, you know, you like at Kwambula, we drilled down about 400 feet. And when we got to about 300 feet, we hit the main water vein, the main fracture zone. And water came, you know, flying up over the top of the rig and top of the derrick. And that's when you know, obviously, that you've hit water.
So when that's happening, are there a lot of people from around that come to watch this? I mean, is it a big
Absolutely.
Deal? And so tell me about this, because I've heard stories about this before, what it looks like when an area that's been struggling deeply, deep struggles, see water like that for the first time. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, people struggle, and they in that particular area where the drill site is, people were walking about 4 kilometers one way, you know, 2.5 miles one way with a donkey or carrying a, you know, a jug of water on their back. And, you know, it's really, you know, no money for bathing. I mean, no water for bathing, and you're just enough for drinking and cooking. And people just struggle so bad, and the rains failed this last March, April, May. And so the crops are pretty much a total failure in Kitui District there. And come September, October, at the end of the dry season, it's going to be really bad. And so we want to have the water there for the people that are suffering terribly. And they can't just turn on a spigot like we do here in Illinois, you know, and get water. It's got to come from a long distance. And now they'll have water in their village for about 5,000 people. And they're just super happy.
So when it comes out, do they cheer? What do they do?
They cheer. They start doing a hoop, start dancing.
Hey, and that was going on around here just this past Sunday with the rain that we finally got. And, you know, we've been saying what a drought. And it's only been, you know, a couple months without, like, good rains. But how much our farmers appreciate it. Well, I can just imagine an area that is desolate and no rain and drying up. In case you just tuned in, I have Dean Ekberg here in the studio along with co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo. And if you missed June 22nd's broadcast, you'll hear a little more about Dean testimony and the calling on he and Rhonda's life and on their family's life to serve in Africa, or for that matter, to serve not only where there are needs for water, but for the living water. And Dean loves to share and take any opportunity he can to point to Christ. And I wonder, just in our closing couple minutes, you know, you're on your back, there were points of discouragement, and I think, and I don't know, Jason, you can jump in on this too, but oftentimes, maybe some of our most powerful testimony is during those times of refining, those times of disappointment, those times when the burdens of life are pressing in on us and people are watching us. So I bet when you had these appointments with these government officials, they were kind of looking at your character. You know, this guy, I think he's supposed to be a Christ follower. Or I just oftentimes think, we think it's those grand moments where we do this wonderful work of God, but I think it could be something as simple as being in a restaurant and a waitress kind of observing how you are or how your demeanor is, because people know you're in a terrible occupation, job situation, the bosses are all over you. And how is that fragrance of Christ coming out during those times? Because it's always easy to sing kumbaya and love everyone when everything's going great and you're on a cruise ship. But when things are going bad, I think that's when our true character can come out and the fragrance of Christ can be much more powerful.
That's right. That's right. It's just I think those times of testing, when you're at a low point, like I was being sick there, you know, you've only got one way to look, and it's up. And, you know, of your own strength, it's not cutting it. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes God allows those times of the lows. And where we just have to look up to him. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to look.
Now, Jason, I know because of the unique ministry calling on the Ekbergs that the Community Evangelical Free Church is kind of the sending organization now, the sending ministry. So somebody might catch the vision, gosh, I have a heart for Africa, I have a heart for the people, and here's a unique situation of bringing them water, which then can introduce them to the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. How would people maybe financially get involved, or how can they pray maybe more specifically?
You can go to communityfreechurch.com underneath the missions tab, and you can read a little bit more about Dean and Rhonda and what the mission is that God has put on their heart. That's communityfreechurch.com.
.com or .org?
.com.
.com, okay.
We're a .com. We're big time.
Thanks.
Now you messed me up, thanks.
I was just thinking.
Like I didn't know.
Well, that's why I was kind of confused.
Are these 58s?
Yeah, so start back on just giving the website, now that I sure you know.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you can go to communityfreechurch.com under the missions tab, and you can read about Dean and Rhonda and the mission that God has put on their hearts, and that's communityfreechurch.com under the missions tab. And just scroll down a little bit, you'll see Dean and Rhonda there. And also you can call the church at 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. And if you call on Wednesday or Friday, you may actually get to have a conversation with Rhonda, because she comes and serves in the office there, and you'll hear the passion in her voice when it comes to discussing water ministry or what it is that Dean is doing. Or you can even stop by the church. I know that this coming up Sunday, Dean and Rhonda are going to share their mission. They're going to share what it means to do this. Dean's going to probably share a little bit more. And I think sometimes there's really something special about seeing somebody in person, their body language, how they move, how they talk, the smile on their face. So Dean will be there at 10:45 this Sunday morning, sharing about his mission in Kenya for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. And we'd love to invite people to come in there and see it. Even if you're just, you know, maybe you're just, you're serving at a church and you're loving at a church and you're being effective and used of God as a church, but you say, you know, I just want to know more about what it means, water and Kenya and this global need for living in literal water. I mean, just come in and spend some time. Dean is, like I said, God has equipped him and God has encouraged him. And I know that you could stay after and have a conversation with Dean, and you'll just learn so much about what it is that Dean does and about the real needs that the world has for that.
And the feeling of that call on your life, like yeah. Herb shared on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, just the calling to help those that are incarcerated to go into the prisons. You can talk with Dean and Rhonda and just learn how they discern that calling, because God has gifted us with unique abilities and talents and life experiences, and he wants us to go into all the world. And that might be locally, that might be internationally.
Yeah, and aren't all the people incarcerated? I mean, isn't that, when we use that, wouldn't that be the metaphor for all those who don't know Christ, who are moving towards Christ?
Amen. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. We are one.